Pizza!
Feeling like every night is pizza night?
Pizza? Again?
Spice things up with Cholula for a flavor that'll make you forget you already had pizza twice this week. Cholula hot sauce. The best thing ever to happen to pizza. Choose Cholula.
The Chip Franklin Show with Chris Merrill filling in on KGO 810.
Hey, thanks for making KGO part of your afternoon. It is great to be in for my good friend Chip Franklin, who's super dynamite. You'll catch him filling in for Nikki in the mornings, and I've had the opportunity now to pop in and use his microphone for a little bit. But he makes me wear a mask when I do it. He's not really into sharing. To be fair, he made me do that long before COVID anyway. It's just the way it is. There is a chant going on when you see some of the protests happening around the country. There is a chant going on. Maybe you've seen it, the protests here too, from people who want to defund the police. They want to defund the police, defund the police. And now Minneapolis says, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to defund the police. What? Minneapolis City Council actually said they're going to dismantle the city's police department. And I'm going to be perfectly frank with you. I don't know what that looks like. I really don't have any idea. Defunding, does that mean you're going to take away all the money? Dismantling, does that mean you're going to end the police department altogether? And without any sort of enforcement of the laws on the books, doesn't that become anarchy? Look, I know there's a lot of animosity about the authority that police officers show nowadays. I get that, right? I get that there's a lot of animosity toward that. And the good officers I know understand why that is, right? And the really great officers I know not only understand that, but they engage in community policing because they know that community policing is the best way to prevent crime. They know it, and they do it, right? And they do a great job of it. And then you see these, you know, these rookies with the, you know, these goofy mustaches that are out there with their batons, and they're happy to start shoving cameramen around or pepper spraying old men in these protests. We've seen those guys, right? Kind of the type A. Incidentally, I've been a type A guy my entire life, you know, always very driven, that sort of thing. But I'd like to think I've been an empathetic type A guy. I try to think of other people throughout the process. So, but you know what I'm talking about, right? We know about these guys. It's like they have a gun, so they think they're invincible, that sort of thing. We know that, right? But the guys we really like, the guys and gals, I don't mean to disparage. The men and women that we like in uniform are the ones that have the gun, and they know they have it if they need it, and it's there, and they never, ever, ever want to pull it. Then you know that there's some guys that are like, I got a gun, I can't wait. You know that's happening. You know it is. Just natural personalities of people, and especially some people who want to be finding themselves in positions of authority. We know that happens. But does that mean that we get rid of police departments that... It doesn't sound quite right. Well, joining me right now is a guy who might know the answer to this. I sure hope he does. Richard C. Bell, Esquire. And Richard C. Bell specializes in police brutality and wrongful death cases. He's actually dealt with some civil rights cases himself, including police brutality. And some of these cases that, if there were no cameras, there wouldn't have been any justice. So, Richard, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you so much for checking in with us today. Tell me here what this means if we say defund or disband the police departments in different cities as we know them. How does that look?
Sure, Chris. Thanks for inviting me, first of all. Here's the problem. We're using words like defunding, dismantling, disbanding. I think it's very misleading because we're not having this false choice between funding police or funding social services and education. That's not what we mean. What I think is meant is you need to have both the structural reforms in the police department to attack the systemic racism, and you need to have the social services programs. Now, when you use a word like dismantling or disbanding, this actually happened in Camden, New Jersey in 2012 and in Compton, California in 2000. And it's not that the police departments were taken away and you had chaos in the streets. No, what happened was in both those cities, the policing became a county level matter Compton was the L.A. Sheriff's Department. In Camden, it was Camden County, because they felt that the police departments in the localities were so ingrained in a bad culture that they had to kind of start over again, except they had this countywide police force. So that's what I think it means.
How does that work, better or worse? I mean, how does that work, and does that necessarily fix systemic racism? In the opinion of many, they're saying, well, all you're doing is you're just replacing one bad apple with another bad apple. And obviously every situation is different, but how does the public receive that picture?
Sure. I think the public receives it like, look, we are breaking down what we have. We know that doesn't work. We're going to a different model, and in the different model, like in Camden and Compton, they're certainly not perfect, but they've certainly improved dramatically from where they were. We have a force that is now this countywide force, and we have many more safeguards in place, kind of like a number of the things that today that Justice in Policing Act that Congress has proposed. You have
right.
those kinds of safeguards in place on the state level in some regards, and there you are starting to change the police culture and the police standards.
So how does that – I've seen bad sheriffs, right? And we can probably name a few that the president has pardoned. So I know some bad sheriffs out there,
yeah.
right, that have had issues with race in their history, okay? So – suppose you've got, I'm talking about Joe Arpaio, obviously, but let's use the Phoenix Police Department. Phoenix has seen a number of different protests. They've had some issues there. They've had people that are saying, you know, this has got to stop. Black Lives Matter. There's reason for them to be upset. Arpaio's not the sheriff anymore. The sheriff that's in there is actually a pretty good guy. I know him, but if this were a situation where they say, well, let's dismantle this police department and let's turn it over to this other authority, I mean, again, you're not really turning it over to anybody that would be any better. You'd be changing things. There would be a change, but I don't know how that would be any better. So how does that improve accountability for the people? Does it just have to do with more people voting for a sheriff versus an appointed official on a city level?
You make a good point, Chris. So the point would be, you're not just turning it over to a new authority. You have to turn it over to a new authority that has these structural changes like Congress is looking at, and which state legislatures should look at and municipalities should look at. It's not enough just to turn it over to different people. I agree. You have to turn it over to different people with the kinds of reforms that the protesters are calling for, because there's a lot of excellent reforms that are being called for right now.
New York civil rights attorney Richard Bell Esquire is joining me right now, and you'll find more at richardcbellesquire.com. It's ESQ, richardcbellesq.com. And Richard, what are some of these reforms? If we can get into that a little bit more, what are some of the reforms that we'd be calling for if we're saying, look, we have to improve the system? The systemic racism has to change. We have to improve it. Here's where those improvements begin. What is the message that the protesters need to rally behind and say, here are our demands? This is what we want to see happen.
Sure. Banning chokeholds. Okay. Do you know how many police departments still have that? So that's a simple but extremely important one. How about we finally share data on police misconduct? You wouldn't believe what a poor system it is, certainly nationally, that the data is not shared when you've got a problematic officer and then he gets fired or he quits and he gets hired somewhere else and there's no database to go to for the new people that hire him. That's really
a problem. A problem. California. We just passed a law in California that improved that. It just went into effect here earlier this year. So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. All right. What else?
Okay. How about this thing called qualified immunity? This is not to get in the weeds, but the Supreme Court basically has created a defense for policemen in cases brought by families of victims or the victims that basically set an extremely high bar in order to win a civil rights lawsuit. And one of the things Congress is looking at is getting rid of that. And if you did, you would make a more level playing field for these police brutality cases. And let's get real. When you hit the municipality in the pocketbook because they have bad actors on the police force, that is a great motivation incentive to change because it's very practical. It's like, wow, we can't pay it any more money on this. We have some bad actors. We better police ourselves a little bit here. That's a
big
one.
Is there a difference, Richard? Is there a difference between police brutality and, say, police brutality involving civil rights violation? Aside from the obvious civil rights violation of being brutalized by an officer, but in the same way that we've got hate crimes, is there a qualifier to police brutality?
Sure. What happens is it breaks down. So, for instance, the Floyd family would have a civil rights suit under federal law for the violation of his civil rights. It would be Fourth Amendment seizure and obviously his death by excessive force. And then it would be a wrongful death case regarding the assault, the battery, and the death, and that's a state case. So yes, it's differentiated. It is.
All right. Richard C. Bell is with us right now. When we talk about defunding these different departments, and again, that the word defunding or dismantling just seems, the words themselves seem extreme to me, because what I'm seeing from some different groups is that they're saying, wait a minute, we don't want to not have law enforcement. We don't want to not have somebody there to enforce the laws that are on the books for the betterment of all of us. But what they're saying is, do we need to spend so much money on, you know, tactical gear when we could take some of that money and put it towards social programs or mental health programs or things of that nature? Is this something Congress is considering right now?
Yes. As a matter of fact, in the Justice and Policing Act, one of the things is the funding of federal funds going to these kinds of militarizations of local police forces. That's a really good thing because we don't need that. What we need is police who are not just part of the community, but are felt to be people that are in service and doing our public safety. You know, one of the things I always thought about was, why do we call them police officers and not call them public safety officers? Because if you did, just the tone of that, it's for the public, it's for our safety, and I think it just simply sends a message of an arm around your shoulder instead of a knee on your neck.
We have seen that in a few places, right? But for the most part, it's still the PD. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Richard, pleasure having you on here as we talk about different legal reforms, and we'll invite callers in as well. Richard C. Bell, Esquire, RichardCBellESQ.com, civil rights attorney. Good having you on the program, sir. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll get your feedback as well here at 8080-810. You hear the words defund the police or dismantle the police. And first of all, I want your gut reaction to that, because I'll tell you what mine is in just a moment. But then what sort of incarnation or what sort of development of the public safety departments would be beneficial to all of us? All right. I don't think anybody wants anarchy, but what is going to be beneficial and how do we institute those changes? Help me out with that. This is you are absolutely, and I've done work on radio stations around the country, and this is absolutely one of the most thoughtful audiences I've ever spoken with. And so it is an honor having you on here. I want to hear some of that great thought that you've got. 8080-810 is that number. It's 8080-810. Chris Merrill in for Chip Franklin on KGO 810.
The Chip Franklin Show with Chris Merrill filling in on KGO 810. You're listening to The Chip Franklin Show. Filling in for Chip today, it's Chris Merrill on KGO 810.
Thanks for hanging out. It is good talking with you. 8080-810 is the number. It's 8080-810. There are calls to defund the police, defund the police. And I got to tell you, I heard that and my gut reaction was, wait a minute. Hang on here. Nobody wants to see violence against anybody, right? Nobody wants to see police brutality. Nobody wants to see that. What really disgusts me is when it's completely unnecessary. And we've seen those instances, right, where somebody is following orders and they still end up getting punched in the face. And these cases are starting to come to light, right? We're seeing that. But I don't know if you're like me. I love watching live PD. I love live PD. It's great. I watched Live PD, and you also know those officers deal with some pretty messed up people. Let me say that. Sometimes they're messed up on drugs. Sometimes they got some mental issues. Sometimes they're just not nice people. We've all dealt with not nice people, right? So let's not pretend that we live in a utopia either. We need brave men and women who are there to keep us safe. We need that, right? We need that. So when you start saying defund the police, I go, whoa, hang on, whoa. Let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater here. Hang on here. I'm all for reform. I'm all for different training. I'm all for different approaches. I'm all for that kind of, but when you say defund, I go, wait, hang on. So I started looking at, what does that mean? Defunding the police. Article that was around New York Times had this. Calls to defund police departments are generally seeking spending cuts to police forces that have consumed ever larger shares of city budgets in many cities and towns. Minneapolis, for instance, is looking to cut $200 million from their $1.3 billion overall annual budget. That according to the city council president. The police budget in 2020 was $189 million. She says she hopes to shift that money to other areas of need in the city. So now that's for Minneapolis, who's saying they want to dismantle things. My guess is in Minneapolis, when they dismantle, they'll start looking, they'll turn to the sheriff's department, or they'll look at some other incarnation of the of a public safety department. The other thing is, I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of meeting somebody who works for the police department who is a really great person, and I have had that pleasure so many times. I can't even count how many great officers I've met, right? I don't know of any really bad people that I've met. I've seen them, right? I mean, we've seen them on television. We've seen them in the news. We've seen the bad cops. We know that. But I can't even tell you how many great officers I've met. I don't want to see them lose their jobs, because that's the person I want out there doing the community policing. Right? When you're on Twitter and you see a cop who's in a rough neighborhood who takes a basketball away from one of the kids and starts a game of one-on-one with the kid, right? That's the cop we want. I don't want that guy to lose his job. I don't want to see that. When I see that woman who's in uniform walking down the street and there's a kid who's obviously breaking the law, having a lemonade stand without a permit. When I see that, I mean, I'm the kind of guy that wants to cuff and stuff the kid. Like, listen, we are nation of laws, rule of law. You don't have a permit, you're going to jail. But nope, instead, what we see is an officer who comes by, maybe after somebody is called too, right? Some jerk like me who's called, like, there's kids on my corner that are selling lemonade without permits. And the officer comes up and buys the lemonade. That's the person we want in our community. I don't want to see her lose her job. I don't want to see that officer lose her job. So how do we make it look? How do we make this so that we're able to retain the good people, we're able to eliminate the bad people, and we're able to make sure that the people coming in are trained in a manner that makes them the good people, right? Some of it, I think, is nature. Some of it is training. How do we find them, and how do we attract those people? So the other thing that we don't want is we don't want to see a bunch of police departments that don't have enough staff. We don't want to see a bunch of public safety departments that can't answer the call when something bad goes down. 8080-810 is that number. It's 8080-810.
You're listening to The Chip Franklin Show. Filling in for Chip today, it's Chris Merrill on KGO 810.
The world is burning! And here we are! Some people fiddle, some people watch. Frankly, I get a little bit confused. I don't even know what to do other than try to talk things through with you. And I think, frankly, I think having an open, honest conversation about things is probably the best way for us to advance our society, is with civil discourse. I mean it. Civil discourse is the most powerful tool we have in our arsenal. I believe that. So here we talk, in the first hour, we talked about Tom Cotton, who says, we got to send in the troops. Anywhere there's protests, there's liable to be unrest. And if there's unrest, we got to send in the troops, which follows along with Trump's, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. All right. So it's sort of that authoritarian response. If people are getting unruly, we have to spank them harder. That's sort of that response. The protesters are saying, we got to defund the police, defund the police, defund the police. And I think that might mean something different to different people. I do. I think that means something different to others. Some people say they don't want any police at all. I'm not quite ready to say I don't want any police at all. No, wait a minute. Don't want any police. That, hang on here. I still want to be able to call somebody when some punk breaks into my car. Right? I still, like, otherwise, are we just going to have armed citizens standing guard outside their homes? Hang on here. I'm not ready to go full dystopian here. Let's not do that. We have some really great officers out there. We do. We absolutely do. 100%. So how do we find that happy middle ground? 80-80-810 is that number. It's 80-80-810. John is in San Francisco. John, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for taking the time to call.
But yeah, before the commercial breaks, you kept saying that you have no problem with cops. Every cops you have met, they're very nice and they're very good. Are you a white person or a black man?
Oh, you're right. I'm white.
Thank you.
You're right.
Listen, let me finish. You see, this is the same conversation we used to listen to before the Floyd death.
Yeah.
You come up on the air and keep saying cops are nothing but good people, and they're very good to me. They never done anything. Of course they're not going to do anything to you. But they will stop me and tell me they smell something in my car with my kids. They smell marijuana. Come on now. Please, be reasonable. And yes, we do all know that there is good cops and there is a bad cops. But nowadays, and for the next issue, we're going to be talking about the bad one. We're not talking about the good one. We're talking about the bad one. But don't come and tell me as a white person you never have any problem with the cops.
Whoa. John, hang on. Because I think you and I agree on a whole lot more than we disagree on here. All right? Like you just said, of course there's good cops. Of course there's bad cops. And you're right, from my perspective, maybe that is skewed because I am a middle-aged white guy living in America. So maybe the cops I've met have been good to me, but I've met people socially, right? I do know some cops that I think are, not the best individual, not the kind of people. Hang on, John. They're not the kind of guys that I would hang out with, but I don't know that they have any criminal complaints against them. I don't know that they've done something to somebody else, right? But you're right. I concede you're right. My perspective might be skewed. But this is why I think it's important that you and I have this conversation.
Wait, John.
I want to make clear to you that I'm not denying that there are bad cops. I want to make clear to you that I'm not out defending everybody and saying that somebody who claims that there's police brutality is wrong. I want to make clear to you that I absolutely understand the motivations behind these protests, and I agree with those motivations, and I also insist on reform, okay? But I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So that's my point here, and you make a great point. As a middle-aged white guy, my perspective is totally skewed. But, John, are you telling me you've never met an officer who's been helpful?
Not really. Not from their heart.
Okay.
They're just doing it feeling sorry about me. Not because I am not doing anything wrong. I'm telling you, when I'm stopped on the street with my kids in the back seat, I'm telling me they smell marijuana in my car. I mean, come on now. You are, as a white person, you're speaking as if, like, all the cops are good. And then
John, you keep coming back to that. Did I listen to you? But you didn't listen to me, is my point. I'm not saying all the cops are good. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you that the cops with whom I've had interactions are good, okay? I'm not saying all the cops are good, and I'm not that guy.
Okay. You as a white person, all the cops are good except when they're bad, when they do something bad to a black man.
You keep repeating it. Listen, man, if you want me to take you seriously, right, then we can't have this whole I say they're good and you say they're all bad, right? We can't have that conversation. We have to be honest with each other, and we have to listen. We have to listen to each other. So when I tell you I don't think all cops are good, I think there are bad cops, you have to listen to me when I say that, right?
They're good to you. Of course they're good to you. I want you to paint your face black and drive on the streets and see what's going to happen to you.
I get your point, and I agree with your point. I totally understand, John. I understand, but you don't know the guys that I've met.
My other things I wanted to say besides what I just said. Every need police in every city in America. They should go back and sit down and review every single cop's file. Anybody, any cop who has more than 5 or 10 serious complaints, they should be fired before it's too late. That's how I feel about it. And that's what happened to Floyd.
I'm down with you on that. I get that. I'm with you, man. I can get behind you on that. We've already seen, John, thanks for the call. I mean it. Thanks for the call. But we've seen that actually. We've seen some DAs that are saying, I won't take cases from cops that have a history of civil rights complaints. We're starting to see that happen here, where the system is starting to recognize the bad cops. In the past, it's been sort of like, you know, the DA sticks with the cops sticking everything. It's, I got your back, you know, that kind of thing. We're starting to see some change in that. Slowly but surely, we're starting to see some change in the system. I'm just not super hopeful that change is, I'm sorry to tell you this, I'm just not super hopeful that we're going to see an end of systemic racism in our lifetimes. Look, we fought the Civil War, right? And then we went through Reconstruction. But we still have one of the things we're going to talk about coming up here at 5 o'clock. We still have people that are arguing that we have to have monuments to Confederate generals out there, right? The Marine Corps just said no more Confederate flags. What? Can you imagine somebody flying an ISIS flag at a Marine Corps base? Or putting an ISIS sticker on their pickup truck and then going to work as a Marine. Can you imagine that? We go, what are you doing? You're crazy. But a Confederate flag, that's been okay. For 155 years after the end of the Civil War, after the Union beat the military that was trying to divide this country, after the Marines won, we have 155 years later, we still have people that are waving the flag of the opposing team. It's crazy. We'll talk more about that coming up here at 5 o'clock. I don't want to get too sidetracked. Let's get Emma's in Sacramento. Emma! Hey, Emma.
Hello?
Hey, there you are. There you are.
I agree with you as far as I've met a lot of really good cops, but I've also ran into some not very nice ones. But my feelings with them is I think they need more training as far as with mental health, how to approach things. I mean, I feel sorry for the cops. A lot of them are overworked, underpaid, and way too many hours. And I think that they need help in that as far as in training, getting more force out there to help them out. Because there are a lot of them, the reason some of them act the way they do is because they're stressed.
You know, that might be a good point. Maybe that is a little bit of empathy from all sides, a little understanding on these things. Now, stress is not an excuse to start choking somebody. I mean, we agree on that, right?
No, I agree. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it's also stress, and I feel sorry for them, too. Like I said, I've met some very, very nice ones, but I just also think that maybe more training, add in more people, don't make them work 10, 12 hours a day. That's a lot of hours for a cop.
I wonder if when we talk about, Emma, thanks for the call. Good talking to you. You're fantastic. You're swell. I wonder if we talk about, they say defunding, but in many cases, the idea of defunding is not an abolishment of the police. It's actually just a sort of defunding some of the programs that are in place. For instance, do the police need to have a SWAT team that's ready to invade a small South American country at any time? Is that necessary? I don't think so. Now, I know a lot, and I can't stand seeing this. The MRAPs. Are you familiar with the MRAPs? The MRAPs are mine resistant, ambush resistant, something like that. The military vehicles that replace the Humvees. These are great. I mean, for wartime, these are fantastic tools. They weigh something like 15 tons, and they can carry a number of soldiers. They're fantastic in the war zone. They really are, right? They're great. Do we need to have that on the streets? Is that something we need to see cruising down the boulevard in Oakland? Is that necessary? Look, I don't think so. I actually pulled up an article from a tactical review type website that was like, look what we can do. We can demolish things. It's bulletproof. We can do bulletproof things. Now, look, those things are just shy of $900,000 a piece. Police departments aren't buying them. The federal government's actually giving them to police departments. But the training that's necessary, and then, of course, you've got the vehicle. You've got to make sure you've got your entire whatever you can put in there, right? So there's money that's being spent on some of these things, and we see a more and more of a militarization of different police departments. So I think in many cases what we can take a look at is, all right, look, we need to have a SWAT team. Right. We need to, because that it's not, there's times that a SWAT team is necessary. Let's not ignore the fact that a police department is keeping us safe. Right. They're I know I'm going to have John call me back, start screaming. The police department is there as a service of public safety. There are bad people among us. Right? We know that that happens. We can't ignore that fact. Right. But do we need to have a full militarization? I don't think we do. And maybe we take some of that money and we start shuffling that around to things like what Emma was talking about. Maybe we start investing in the human resources instead of some of the military resources that really get the testosterone bumping. Larry's in Hayward. Larry, next up. Thanks for calling KGO 810, Larry.
One,
Larry, I can't hear
you. Hey, there you are, bud. 75-year-old guy that got pushed to the ground, in my opinion, and I'm over 75 myself, he was an idiot. He looks like he's towers over the two younger cops that were there. He had no business doing what he did, and he's so clumsy he hurts himself. Now he probably wants to sue. So, number one, he should not have been doing. He should know better, but he's just being spectacular. Secondly, police training.
Hold on. Did you just victim blame?
What's that?
Did you just blame him for being shoved down and bleeding from the head?
Yes. Absolutely. He's standing there. He can see the police are coming there. He's not helping the situation. He's a problem.
But well, how do the officers help the situation? How do the officers help that problem?
They were walking forward doing their job. He did not get out of the way. That's his problem. He's a big boy.
He was walking forward exercising his First Amendment rights.
Okay. All right. I'm just giving you my point of view. That's okay.
Right.
Secondly,
keep going.
On police training, I think police training is needed, yes. But more so, people training is needed.
Okay. In what way?
All right. In other words, when I grew up...
Breathe through a chokehold?
No, hang on. The cop tells you to do something, you don't argue with him. That's not the place to do the argument. In every one of the cases, if the people involved would have just done as they were asked, they'd still be alive today.
But that's not true, Larry. That's not true. Not in every one of the cases if they'd have just done what they were told.
Current one, he was resisting arrest. If he would have just got in the car, he'd have been fine. And that's sad. The third one is the key one. I think, overall, there's a force up above that wants to keep the black community down. I saw this during the Rodney King time, and I'm seeing it now. This is horrible what's happening to the black community. It does not look good as a general thing. A few bad, bad people out there do bad, bad things. We want cops to run in there and save them and make judgment calls. This is not good. But the press plays this up and makes a big thing out of it. Then the black community jumps in and makes them look bad all the way down. We have a due process. The guy who committed the crime was arrested. He has a process. Destroying public property and doing all this thing. You can have a quiet demonstration, and it's sad. But it's done to the black community on purpose, and they're hurting the black community on purpose.
All right, who is doing it?
Keeps them down.
You might as well finish. I mean, Larry, you're right on the Fox News train here. Who is holding the black community down?
We'll use the radio station, for example. I've heard people call in, make statements that aren't true. It's now blasted all over the area, and people jump
on. No kidding.
I hear, pardon?
You mean like everybody that's ever been assaulted by a cop had it coming?
I never said everybody on anything. And I'm just saying
you did. In every one of these situations, if the person had just complied, they would have been fine. Eric Garner complied, he's dead. Eric Garner complied, he's dead.
I firmly believe that a cop doesn't start out in the morning hoping I can kill somebody. The paperwork is horrendous for him. What it does to their family is horrendous for him. It's not what they signed up for. And we're not helping it in any way, shape, or form.
I think there's some guys that put on that uniform and they're excited that they have a gun and they're hoping today's the day they get to use it.
God, you absolutely are so far off that. Based on that. You are so far off.
Larry, I got to bounce, man. Thanks for the call. Good talking to you. 80-80-810. It's 80-80-810. Chris Merrill in for Chip Franklin, KGO 810.
You're listening to The Chip Franklin Show. Filling in for Chip today, it's Chris Merrill on KGO 810.
80-80-810 is that number. It's 80-80-810. And we've been talking as there are calls to defund the police, defund the police, defund the police. And I got to tell you, I take pause and I go, whoa, wait a minute. Hang on. Let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater here. It doesn't seem to me that we want to have total anarchy. It seems to me that we would want to have a little more, a more thoughtful response than just saying, let's get rid of all cops. We still want to have enforcement of laws that are on the books, right? I mean, this isn't the purge. There's my concern, right? If we defund everybody, do we end up with the purge? That's not what I want. Let's go to Pittsburgh where Greg is. Greg, thanks for calling KGO, man.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going well, bud.
Yeah. Long time.
Greg, I got about a minute here. And if we have more, I'll hold you over until the next segment, okay? Just wanted to give you a heads up. So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, long time listener, first time caller.
Cool.
And I just wanted to chime in on this conversation that we're having about defunding the police. And I think that's a dangerous path to go down. And also, one of the reasons is just like you were talking about, just the possible all out chaos that could ensue. And also, I think as Democrats, we need to lose that moniker, because the Republicans and Donald Trump, they will use that moniker against us. He'll rile up his base with that, and he may be successful.
Yeah, and that's a huge concern I have too. Greg, you are very good. I hope you call more often. I really do. I mean that. You were fantastic. All right, we'll continue with the conversation. 80-80-810 is that number. It's 80-80-810.